to Children Come First with Dr. Daria Brzezinski, WAAT 750 AM on your radio dial. We're here every Tuesday, and today we're here with Trent Boken, the principal of Mansfield Junior Senior High School, and Dick Palmer, the school counselor, and they are both from the Southern Tioga School District. If I said something different in before our last half hour, I apologize, but that's where they're from. Now, we ended up talking about parent participation, and I'd like to kind of take us into another direction, if you will, in terms of your educational programs. What is team education?
Okay, Trent? Daria, this is the area. We talked a little bit about this in the first part of the program. The team education program is the model that Dick and I have established. It really was really out of Dick's doing. It was his idea, and this was the idea of creating the family mentor-type network, bringing in our 7th and 8th grade students.
Right. Okay. Now, what kinds of things are you doing to promote the relationship between the staff and the students?
Okay. Well, I guess one of the best things that we're doing is we've just implemented a block schedule. And what this does is it allows our building to take on a more personalized feel. The staff has taken the opportunity here to have 75 minute blocks of time to teach their classes. Within that setting,
now normally they're 45.
In most school districts,
right?
And so, what it's allowed us to do is it has allowed us to spend more time with each child. Each staff member now has less students per class to teach because we have broken those classes into a semester-long course. They're more intensive for a semester-long period of time. And so it allows the students to focus on less classes per semester and allows the staff to focus on less classes as well as less students per semester. That automatically creates a personalized environment. To get the students and staff together, some of the things we're doing, we had mentioned the team ed program where we have our students and staff really working together and networking with regard to that program. We have an activity period which runs every Friday, and what happens is the student interests are matched with staff interests, and it gives them a block of time for 75 minutes where they just have a period of time where they can be together to have fun with like interest activities. We also are looking forward to promoting an intramural competition that we can initiate following our basketball season. We are in the process of creating a staff basketball team, and we would like to get a mix of staff to go against a mix of our student body, as well as try to bring in a community intramural team made up of community representatives to also be part of that type of a tournament activity, where we might even promote that as a fundraiser, but just have a fun time working together, playing each other, really kind of souping it up a little bit, and just making it a big deal, making it a lot of fun. Dick, maybe you would want to talk about our Super Sports Day?
One of the things, in everything that we do, we try to make sure that everybody's involved. We had mentioned in the first half hour the mega volleyball game, but you didn't send your best six players out. All 22 or 23 of the people around the team were there, and it was a game that everybody could play. And so we really emphasize that. We're going to come back this 9 weeks with a Super Trivia Bowl, but everybody will be involved. You don't have your smartest person jump up, okay? But everybody has to play a role in order for the team to be successful. And so all of our events are designed to work that way. Even our Super Sports Day, we have we have the usual events where everybody knows, basketball and volleyball. Well, you know, not everybody plays those sports. So we have other things. We have tug of wars, and we have an event called the Frisbee Fling, and we actually have one of our faculty members who is not physically able to do any of those strenuous sports, but he can walk out on the court and he can throw the frisbee, you know, at a target, and so the kids see that, one, everybody's important. Two, everybody can contribute. And three, everybody can be successful. And so all that we do within that program is designed to emphasize that.
I think that's really a tribute to you, because we have so much emphasis on sports and how, especially in the state of Pennsylvania, and how competition and getting your name in the paper and winning awards at those levels are really important. But as you said, not every child is an athlete, and you know, they often feel that they're not as important because they're not quite as athletic as somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And sorry to build on that. We have a wall of worth that we put up where we actually...
A wall of what?
A wall of worth.
Oh, worth.
Yes. And we had it up in our main hallway last year, and it was taken down to finish our building project, and we're just getting ready to put it back up.
This is W-O-R-T-H, correct?
W-O-R-T-H, you got it.
Okay.
Okay. So what happens is everything is... I look at everything as how much worth are you building. I see worth, and I've done research on this as well, but worth and achievement are directly related. The more worth you feel, the more you will achieve. The more you achieve, the more it builds your worth. So it cycles. In that light, what we try to do is we try to pick out our students that are achieving in many different ways and put their picture up on a wall of worth in a frame. We also have a large showcase that is like a 4x8 showcase, where all we do is put up newspaper ads, students that have made the paper for anything. We try to put those up. There are role models in our school. And what you do is you have a student, and they don't know necessarily that their picture went up there. They'll stand there, they'll look at it. There might be an activity going on that night. They're looking at it. They might be walking past it in the hallway. They look at it. We had a student that we put up last year that received his Eagle Scout, and he didn't even realize it was put up. And about a month later, he came back and he said, Mr. Bogan, he actually came into my office and he said, I just wanted to tell you, thank you so much. He said exactly what you just said, that so many times we see students that are in sports and they get in the paper, and then, you know, everybody makes a lot of press of that. And here I was making my Eagle Scout, got in the paper, and you have my picture up on the wall of worth. I didn't even know it went up there. Thank you so much.
How does one get on the achieve? Don't you give a Pride and Worth certificate?
Yes.
How does one achieve that?
This year we started it's called a Pride and Worth certificate. We also have Pride and Worth meetings. Again, back to the idea of worth, but also pride in your school community. The Pride and Worth certificate is something we developed this year. We designed it on our own computer systems. We wanted to create a certificate that not only said it acknowledged that somebody did something that was a positive contributor to our school community, but also it said exactly what they did. So what we do is we go right in and type in exactly what they received their certificate for. We've had people contributing from the community, and based on their benevolence, what we do is we send out a thank you letter, and we also send them a Pride and Worth certificate and also a Tiger Pride pin. And we had an individual offer several hundred dollars worth of science materials. He's a retired teacher. We had another individual that gave us their piano.
Wow.
So what we do is, to say thank you to these people, we thank them for offering to the positiveness of our building. The Pride and Worth certificate, it is simply that. It just... it states exactly what they have offered to our environment. Dick Palmer received one of our Pride and Worth certificates this year for his team education program that that he initiated in our school. And what we're hoping to do is, with this program, we're establishing a referral system where students might see something happen in the hallway with another student, and it can be as simple as a child running into another child, the books fly all over the place, this other third-party child didn't have anything to do with this. They walk up on it. They start helping that other person pick up all of the materials and get on their way. That is something that is promoting a respect and a positive citizenship in our building. They might then take a referral notice and send it in to our office, where we can say, this is fantastic, this is what we're looking for in our students. And then what we're doing is we will go to the classroom and give a spontaneous announcement. Well, we'll walk right into the classroom, we'll ask the teacher if we might be able to interrupt their class for a second, and then we kind of act as a town crier and say we would like to recognize the with a Pride and Worth certificate the positiveness that the following student has displayed through the following.
You're practically bringing me to tears here. This is absolutely the difference between, you know, really supporting the children in your school. I mean, you're doing everything. You're creating this positive climate for children. I mean, what you're doing is, instead of stressing the negative, which is what we tend to do in this society, in this world, you seem to be stressing all the positive contributions.
Yes. And the negative will come up and hit you right in the face.
Right.
It's those positives that you have to pick out when they do hit you, because they don't hit you as hard, and they don't get picked out as much. I know, I'd attended a conference of yours in this past year, and we talked about media. On top of that, the research also states you really have to be in line with your media. Recently, our local school paper came in, and they come into our school on a periodic basis to get positive things that are happening in our school. And we had our block scheduling as a result of block scheduling, as a result of these programs that we're implementing on a positive note. What's happening is our first quarter this year, our first grading marking period, we had such a positive set of things occur with our honor roll. Our honor roll, every grade level increased in honor roll percentage. We had 80% of our seniors on our honor roll.
Whoa.
We had our student failures all went down in every grade. And for the first time in Dick Palmer's memory, we had no seventh grader fail any class. And so you're talking about 70-some students that did not fail a single class. To me, that's just incredible.
I hope you're doing longitudinal studies on this.
Well, that's what we're starting to do. And the other thing that we're seeing is we had just this year, as compared to last year, and I did not compare it to the prior year, I was not in this district, but just this year compared to last year, with our positive programming, with the things we're implementing, we also had a 36% decline in discipline. So everything that we're promoting positively, and you mentioned it's nice to pick out those positive things. Well, what we're also seeing by doing that and by creating such a model, what's happening is all of those negative things are basically disappearing. Our students and teacher, I would say, are actually our parent and teacher communication has been just increasing positively, and there's been a decrease to a point where it's almost non-existent of parents calling in with regard to negative concerns with regard to a teacher.
You're listening to Children Come First. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski, WAAT, 750 AM on your radio dial. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 AM. And today we are here with Trent Boken, who is the principal of Mansfield Junior Senior High School, and Dick Palmer, the school counselor in the Southern Tioga School District in the state of Pennsylvania. Now, You know, Trent, that you've heard me in the past, and I've talked about how the media tends to tell me all the time that in order to sell, you must accentuate the negative in order to sell newspapers and slots on the television and radio. And, of course, we're here trying to do something different. And what I'd love to see is for you to do this longitudinal study on the positive effects of creating positive environments, because I know that from the research that I've done, when you create positive environments, you instill pride and joy and all of the wonderful kinds of things that can happen. And of course, it's not a utopia. The negative doesn't go away, and there are still problems. However, there's a different atmosphere for students, and they learn much better. And the kinds of things and issues that we'll be dealing with in the 21st century, like more single-parent families and more diversified populations who come from poverty, definitely the school has been asked to do many more things than we really should expect them of. We do much more in other kinds of supports than we do instructional. We expect schools to, as you know, your school counselor there knows that we expect you to deal with the emotions, the physical, the career, everything, as well as the intellectual, the medical, the legislative, the judicial. The school education environment has become something much, much more than it has any other place in the world, in the United States. And so we have put a tremendous amount of pressure on our schools to do more for our students than really, in my estimation, we have a right to ask for. And you are doing a phenomenal job at bridging that gap and making a fluid structure. You've heard me speak about before that we've created this 100-year-old infrastructure that doesn't go out and doesn't allow people to come in, and here you have broken down the barriers within your community and created a working relationship with parents and students and staff. And you also acknowledge your senior citizens in your community as well. What do you do there?
Some of what we're looking to do, and it's an area we need to do some growth. Some of what we'd like to do, we do, and I'll have Dick Palmer talk a little bit about our community service program and how we bring those two generations together. But what we'd like to do a little bit more in the future is really tap the expertise of our senior citizens, trying to bring these persons into our building to really act as a I would say, in addition to our curriculum. People from the Tioga County area, there's much history, there's much tradition here. We would like to bring those people in to say, tell their story within our classrooms. We have a PA history class where much of our curriculum goes over Tioga County. So we also go over that in our 7th grade study skills class. I think that that's very important. We would like to also initiate, just as we did with the parent breakfast program, we would like to initiate a senior citizens breakfast where we bring people in so that they can see, you know, here's what's happening in your local community school. Here's how things are functioning. Here's the positive nature of that. Here, you know, we hear so much about kids and respect. Here are our kids in our local community, and here's how they display their respect. We would also like you to be a part of that. We would like you to be a part in volunteering in these ways. If you're a retired woodworker, my goodness, come in into our shop and show us what you've gone through. Show us how they used to do it. Let's tie it in. How do we do it now? You know, we also have Dick Palmer he's spearheading our community service program and service learning. Dick, can you talk a little bit about your area there?
Yeah, Dari, our community service program, at least my emphasis is we want to get our kids into community service where they're impacting lives. And this year we've been really successful. We started, just before I left to come down for the radio show today, one of my young ladies came up to me. She said, "Miss Palmer, I need to adjust my schedule for next semester, but the one thing that I do not want to lose," she says, "is my community service." And she started a new arm of that program this year. We've got our young people going into a local nursing home and starting to work with the older people there, and just to learn from them And it's maybe a pet peeve of mine. Our young people are totally disassociated from the older, the senior citizen community. And
it's a pet peeve.
It's so neat to hear these two young ladies come back and say, hey, this is important. I'm working with a young lady, or an older lady, who's 103 years old, and she has so much to offer and so many special things that I've learned from her, and we've kind of formed a bond. And that's a big plus. We've got 17 of our seniors that go down to the elementary school and are involved in what we call our PALS program. And they are working with elementary students who, you know, like you said, many of them coming from, dysfunctional homes, for lack of a better word, and being role models to these younger kids and say, here's what you can do. So really excited about our community service program. There's a lot more we can do. I almost wish we had more time to get out there and involve our kids in the lives of other people.
Well, it seems the pet peeve is also mine. I began to say with the connecting the seniors and different age groups, I think we have created a structure and infrastructure where we have totally isolated our children in age groups that create dysfunction in later life because they can only associate with people their own age and have not been able to communicate with either younger children and or seniors. And our media certainly does not present senior citizens in a positive light. Looking forward to becoming a senior citizen with the kind of negative information they've received from the media on what being old is all about, you know, either senile or ancient or decrepit or sick. And of course, that's not the issue with senior citizens today, who are living longer, better lives. And I really applaud you for your efforts as far as connecting, making those connections for children, both with younger children and with the seniors as well, because I think bridging this gap will certainly, again, create dialogue. And when that dialogue is created, it certainly creates, you are creating a family within your school district. You are creating a family community. And for our children who do not have that opportunity from either our mobile society or for our society that condones single-parent families, you're really creating much, much more than an educational institution. And I want to applaud you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think the one thing, and we talked about the media a little bit, and I had started to go this direction, and I kind of forgot where I was heading. But we have a local paper here. When we had our wonderful statistics that we have kept regarding our success in our first block here, or our first semester here, the first quarter this year, our local reporter put that right on the front page, very first article, a very positive article. And so what I did is I sent him a thank you letter with saying what you have been saying. With everything that the media is bringing out around the nation with regard to much of the negativism, it was very refreshing to see that our local media, our local newspaper here, had the gumption to put front page, first article, big headlines that we're doing something positive here. And on top of that, our local cable station here in Tioga County has offered free of cost the opportunity for us to put programming to our local community on their local station at Blue Ridge Cable. And they've come in. This was actually the individual that runs the program. We had invited him in for a parent breakfast program. And as part of that, this is how we work together and kind of network with the community. He said, hey, I've offered this to other districts. I've offered this to other people. They really haven't taken advantage of it. And I said, well, I want to take advantage of this. And I said, it would be a wonderful opportunity. We have an excellent video productions program in our high school. I would love to put and create a greater awareness of what's going on in our schools for our local community.
Well, what's the name of your newspaper?
Our local paper, it was actually the Mansfield Gazette.
And the cable company?
I'm sorry?
The cable company?
The cable company is Blue Ridge Cable.
I always like to promote also the positive press we have out there, since they're few and far between. In our last 5 minutes of our broadcast, is there anything you'd like to cover that I perhaps have not covered or forgotten? with regard to what you're doing at Mansfield High School?
Dick, would you like to address that first and just give me a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Or would you like me to go first?
No, no, that's okay. I'm just thinking through that as well. This is at our school is kind of a special year. We're wrapping up a renovation project. We're in a new we're in a new scheduling process, and that's the one thing we haven't maybe touched on is the fact that in our new schedule, this block schedule, which I'm certainly a proponent of. One of the exciting things that has come out of that is to see our faculty, our teachers, involve themselves in the lives of our young people in some of the new coursework that we're offering. You know, we're a small rural school, just recently we had a forensics team come back from competition. You know, all excited, and I looked at the kids that had come back, and not a lot of them were athletes, and not a lot of them maybe achieved in certain other areas, but they came back with awards that they had won at this forensics competition. I've been here for 31 years. That's the first time we put out a forensics team. We're putting on a newspaper out of our journalism class. I'm a counselor and run a busy schedule, but because of our new scheduling, I can do an independent study psychology class, which I'm all excited about for second semester. We have an advanced comp class and different things that we have not had an opportunity to offer. And it just kind of hits me that the more we offer to our young people that spark their interest, the greater their enthusiasm is for education, and so I'm thrilled about that.
I would just like to close with saying I attended a choral concert last night, and I walked across the stage to give the opening welcome, and when I did that, our kids and community broke into applause, and I just, what an awesome feeling that was for our student body, our community, it just made me feel great. When I left with my wife and kids, I went home, and I said to my wife, I said, that was just wonderful. I would say that what we've tried to do here is just completely set a positive and purposeful tone. And in doing so, in a year and a half time frame, we've been able to get across that our kids are the most important things, that our kids are most important, and we're genuinely interested in their best, and we want them to reach their potentials. And to do that, we need to bring all of our community, all of our publics together to promote the best possible educational environment that we can. So I think that's what our goal is, and that's what we're trying to do. And within this district, within this Board of Education, our superintendent, it really promotes that, allows us to do it, and we're kind of just going at it as much as we can and just coming up with constantly monitoring and adjusting that programming to make it better and better.
I'd like to thank our two guests today, Trent Boken from Mansfield Junior Senior High School and Dick Palmer, the school counselor. They're both from Southern Tioga School District. You have been listening to Children Come First. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m. If you'd like any tapes of our broadcast, you can call us at 877-PRO-KIDS. That's 877-PRO-KIDS. Or you may email us at prokids@rlc.net. That's prokids@rlc.net. And if you'd like any information from Trent or Dick, you can reach them at 570-659-5521. That's 570-659-5521. Again, our phone number at Children Come First is 877-PRO-KIDS. That's 877-PRO-KIDS. And we'd like to thank you for joining us every week with Children Come First, with issues regarding children and their welfare. And as always, we enjoy having you stepping in with us. And thank you to our sponsors for having us every week. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Thank you and have a good week.